there's a movement in today's culture that fascinates me. It's a mysterious movement. You know, like when you're watching a TV show and they get a couple plot points ahead of you and you're not quite sure what's happening until at the end it all comes together and then you think, oh, that's what was happening the whole time. It's an intriguing movement. It's one that, when it draws us all in a little deeper, makes us think, what's going to happen next? It's a powerful movement, one that comforts us and also challenges us. One that calls us forward. This movement that fascinates me in today's scripture is the movement of Jesus. And it is the movement from love to life. Do you see that movement in the scripture? It's a movement from love to life. I want to go back for a moment. Let's go back to the beginning of this story, because it actually starts 30 whole verses earlier, but I didn't want you to get a whole, like, three chapters of the Bible read out loud in church here this morning. So let's go back to the beginning of the story, the beginning of chapter 11. It's in the book of John. And the story starts when in the book of John, chapter 11, it says that one day Lazarus got ill. Now, you might remember that Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha, and the three of them live in Bethany. Bethany is a suburb of Jerusalem. So whenever Jesus would come into Jerusalem, the Gospel of John says he had a habit of stopping by and staying with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Good house to stay at, right? When you come into town, you stay with your friends. And so the Gospel of John says that when Lazarus got sick, his sisters Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, who was in a whole other region at the time, and said, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." John continues to tell the story, and as we keep on reading, I think we're just as surprised as the disciples are by Jesus' lack of movement. You know, Jesus doesn't rush to Lazarus' side. Jesus kind of stays still for two whole days, even knowing that Lazarus has eventually succumbed to his illness, knowing Lazarus has actually died. Jesus doesn't go anywhere right away. So when Jesus finally does arrive in Bethany, Martha is like waiting for him on the sidewalk. She is ready for him. She says exactly what I think any one of us would say. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then she kind of pivots and says, "But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask for." Martha's like hoping against hope, putting all her trust in Jesus, not even knowing what might come. And Jesus reassures her with those famous words that if you have been to a funeral this year, you have heard. Those words that echo to us today, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet will they live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Those famous words that still ring out to us. But after he talks with Martha, then Jesus asks for Mary. And the scripture says that Mary came and knelt at Jesus' feet. I want to take issue with the people who translated the NRSV because the Greek word here is not so graceful. When you say Mary knelt at his feet, I picture her gracefully kneeling down to worship somebody. But the Greek word here is actually a lot more like she fell at his feet, or she was pushed down at his feet, or she collapsed at his feet. See, Mary is so overcome with grief that it like pushes her down and she just falls apart at Jesus' feet. And she echoes that unnamed question of why that Mary asked, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." But Jesus doesn't respond to her question with famous words. No, something about Mary's grief seems to touch him in this moment, because John says Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. See, Jesus sees Mary sobbing at his feet, and he sees the other people who have gathered all around. And in that moment, Jesus just starts to cry. He just lets silent tears fall down his face. Can you picture this scene for a moment? Jesus standing maybe on the pathway outside the home of Mary and Martha. I mean, I picture him like on the pathway to the tomb, but he's more toward the house right now. And Mary's there at his feet, and he is just letting the tears fall down. Jesus is standing there, overcome by love and grief for his friend who has died, overcome by love and compassion for his other friends who have lost their brother. And Jesus doesn't play the God card or try to escape the heartache or get out of an awkward situation. Jesus just lets the tears fall. When have you been overcome by grief lately? When have you been overcome by a sense of heartache that can't stop the tears? When have you been so moved and just had to let the tears come? Jesus stands there with you this day, moved by his love for you, weeping with you, crying with you. Friends, Jesus is no stranger to our heartache. This is love, 1 John says. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And if we love one another, then God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is where Jesus begins, with his dear friend Mary and with love, with compassion. He meets her right where she is. And this is important because if anyone could have avoided the pain of heartache or the ache that comes with losing a dear friend, it was Jesus. He had the power. But in the face of death, Jesus doesn't run away. He doesn't try to minimize what Mary is feeling. He just stays with his friend and he weeps with his friend. His tears around him make the people around him say, "Ah, see how much he loved him." Jesus begins with love. How can we do the same for one another? But at the same time, Jesus doesn't just stand there and stay there, sort of helpless and weeping. That's not the end of the story. Because this is the movement that fascinates me, the movement from love into life. Because the good news of Jesus is not just that he is always with us, always comforting us, present with us, weeping with us, holding us. That is good news, to be sure. But the good news is also that Jesus is always for us, ready to fight for us, ready to bring new life, ready to capture the new out of the old. Jesus stands there in the midst of death, tears rolling down his cheeks, Martha sobbing at his feet. And then he goes to the tomb and he takes action. Fueled by faith and empowered by prayer, Jesus takes command of the situation. He walks up to the tomb and says, "Roll away that stone," and then calls, "Lazarus, come out." And you know what? He does. The dead man actually walks out of the tomb. I mean, we've maybe heard the story enough that this does not surprise us. But folks, he calls Lazarus and he comes out. The dead man walks out, it says, had cloth wrapped around his hands and wrapped around his face. And so Jesus turns to the people who are still standing there, a bit dumbstruck, I'm sure. And he says, "Unbind this man, let him go." One author I read this week pointed out that even though Jesus starts the process, Jesus raises Lazarus back to life, it takes the whole community to unbind Lazarus. This author says the community was enjoined to participate in and complete the unbinding of the formerly imprisoned and isolated in a tomb. In other words, Jesus can bring new life, but it takes all of us to live it out. This is the movement of Jesus, the movement from compassionate, deep love into fierce new life. Friends, on this Sunday, we remember all these saints and more, all the saints from this year, and I'm sure you have others from other years still on your hearts. And I know that on this Sunday, with these persons on our hearts, it can be hard to want to move from love into life. It can be hard in the face of grief to to turn our eyes toward the bright glare of the light that comes with the new life of Jesus. And so on this day, I want you to know that that's okay. It's okay because this scripture calls us each to take a step of faith, but that step is going to be different for you depending on where you are at today. For some of us, the grief today is still raw and real. We are right there with Mary. We are kneeling at Jesus' feet and sobbing. We don't know what to say when people ask us how we're doing. We don't know how to face people. Maybe it's hard for us to come to church right now. We don't know how to move forward. We don't know how to move on. How can you move on? For us who are there with Mary, our step of faith this day is simply to lean on Jesus, to trust Jesus, to say, "Shepherd me, Jesus," to know that Jesus is weeping with us, and to trust that we are not alone. That's all. For some of us, though, we are not feeling that raw sense of grief. I'm sure each of you has lost someone, but I know that for some of us, the heartache has softened over time. You know, there's no timeline on grief. You know that, right? There's no timeline on how grief progresses. But for some of us, there's been enough time since that last loss that God's given us a sense of healing and a sense of peace. And so today, we're a little bit more like the people on the sidelines, kind of watching Mary and Martha, maybe their neighbors or loved ones. We don't really know what to say to those people who are grieving. Not sure what the faithful response is in the face of hard things. For those of us who are on the sidelines, our role is to be like that community, ready to live out new life. We can be fueled by our faith. We can be like Jesus, empowered by prayer. And we can believe in hope when our brothers and sisters cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know that, right? The people who are grieving, they might not even be able to believe right now, but we can believe on their behalf. We can hold that light for them, the light of these candles that will light their way back home. And we can be standing by, hands wide open, ready for when they walk out of that tomb of grief and isolation, ready to unbind them and to enact the new life that Jesus has brought. And we can be ready to live out new life together. Friends, this is the movement of Jesus. It's a movement from love always into life. It always meets us where we are with love, and then it always pushes us forward with new life. May we this day be a community of love and a community of new life, ready to unbind broken hearts and to embody the work of Christ.